In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. If our modern American society has a crisis in the family around the supper table, we in Lutheranism face a more serious crisis around the Lord's table. I will give two bits of evidence. The first comes from the teacher's guide of CPH's Sunday school curriculum, Our Life in Christ. Quote, if your congregation doesn't invite parents to bring young children to the Lord's table, discuss the practice with your pastor and elders. When families celebrate the Lord's Supper together, positive, lasting memories begin for children. End quote. The second comes from a communion announcement from a local LCMS bulletin, not mine. Those who want to receive a blessing, but not communion, should cross their arms in front of their chest. What is being eroded among us is the sacramental nature of the sacrament itself, so that in the new scheme of things, a communicant might even come to the altar desiring to be touched and blessed by his pastor rather than partake of the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. Christ has established under the new covenant that ordained males as shinings of himself, we are the opposite of shadows, should stand and in his stead regularly administer his holy and blessed Eucharist. For it is in this way that the laws, the nomos, the new statutes, the ordinances made by the authority of his shed blood, may be engraved on our hearts and imprinted on our minds. What are these ordinances or new statutes? I believe a summation of them is given in verse 17, which begins with an exegetical or appositional or explanatory chi. I never could keep them apart. This is what he puts in their heart and in their mind, namely, that their sins and their lawless deeds I will surely remember no more. As we are remembering and proclaiming the death of Christ in the New Testament, God is remembering no more our sins. And by this sacrament, this knowledge is being sealed on our hearts and in our minds. Everything that continues to be accomplished in the church today flows from that one holy saving act of Jesus, the sacrifice of God's Son, the passion of our Lord. Rightly has the traditional calendar of the church assigned 2 weeks to Passiontide rather than the skimpier 1 week attributed to it in the modern version of the calendar. The sacrifice of Jesus himself on the cross is the power by which are perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Christ's passion is the focal point, not only during Passiontide, but throughout Easter, when the Paschal candle is lit, and through eternity. Through the gospel, through the distribution of the once-for-all sacrifice, we are sanctified. For to be perfected is to know the forgiveness of sins, which the Eucharist bestows. Christ in his supper offers us his most holy body and blood, so that engrafted by this communion, as branches in him who is the true vine, we might draw thence new, good, and spiritual sap, Chemnitz. We have in Lutheranism today a need to relearn from Holy Scripture and from our Lutheran and early church fathers the centrality of the sacrament of the altar to all worship and to sanctification. The fathers preached much about the use and benefit of communing at the Lord's Supper, because there the sacrifice, which is the satisfaction for our sins and the price of our redemption, is dispensed to those who take it. Chemnitz again. The words of John the Baptizer, "I must decrease, he must increase," were of prophetic nature, proclaiming John's own death. There was nothing symbolic about them, and there can be nothing symbolic about your decreasing either. You too must suffer a sort of death if you are to be of service to God in his kingdom. For there is but one shepherd, one pastor, even as there has been but one priest. And first of all, you must kill this awful notion, not from Holy Scripture, not from the Lutheran confessions, that the regular service is the one without the supper. Then set aside all your liturgies and do the proven liturgy of word and sacrament. Forget about your ministry, concentrate on his ministry. Put away your clothes and put on the clothes of Christ's office. Put away your words and put on the word of Christ. Put away your righteousness and bear in your body the marks of the righteousness of Christ, even your suffering for the sake of his name. If the Old Testament priests were to exercise reverence and care in offering the sacrifices, which could never take away sins, how much more shall we who are ministers in Christ's church administer with even greater reverence the New Testament in Christ's blood? And how much more than the priests who desired the physical food of the sacrifice should we desire ourselves to be partakers of this holy sacrament? If the word of the Hebrews is true, by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And that one offering, the body and blood of Christ, is ours in the sacrament. Then Chemnitz, once more, gives what is for us perhaps the most critical, the most significant instruction for the church today. Those are not true and faithful ministers of Christ who in any manner whatever lead or frighten people away from more frequent use and reception of the Eucharist. We need pastors who see what the early pastors understood and in a pastoral way restore the confessional practice of every Sunday communion. As Saint Cyril says, if by a mere touch of the flesh of Christ those who were sick were restored, how can it be that we will not live who both taste and eat that flesh? In Jesus' name.